Today's reading from Micah is a courtroom drama, and it too has a twist at the end. This passage is a legal case concerning the covenant between God and the people of Israel. It's structured with a summons, a jury, the calling of witnesses, a summary of benefits provided by the plaintiff, and formal complaints against the defendant. Israel was in the middle of a revival. The temple was crowded. Giving was over budget for the first time in years. But Micah knew something was wrong. Israel was arrogant and uncaring. God accuses them of being selfish. They have forgotten God's generosity. So God brings a case against the people of Israel. The jury that will hear the case are the mountains and the hills that surround them. The whole earth, all of creation, is a witness to God's moral testimony. God's opening argument is posed as a question. What has God done to the people of Israel that they act the way they do? Then God lists the evidence of what God has done for them. First evidence, God sent Moses to free them from being slaves in Egypt. Second evidence, God refers to the story of Balaam and the donkey in the book of Numbers. Does anybody remember this story? It's super cute. King Balak hires a prophet, Balaam, to curse the Israelites. God tells Balaam, don't go, but Balaam is promised a lot of money. So he goes anyway, takes off on the donkey. God sends an angel to block their path. The donkey sees the angel, but Balaam, blinded by greed and self-interest, beats the poor donkey 3 times, trying to get the donkey to keep going. God opens the donkey's mouth, and the donkey asks Balaam, why are you punishing me? This forces Balaam to see the angel, acknowledge his sin, and ultimately to deliver blessings, not curses, to the Israelites. Third evidence, the Israelites have been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. The journey from Shittim to Gilgal was the final step into that promised land of Canaan. As they crossed the Jordan River, God stopped the flow of water so that the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant could cross on dry land. When they got to Gilgal, they renewed their covenant with God, circumcising all the males and celebrating the Passover. These are the 3 pieces of evidence that remind the Israelites of God's faithfulness. Now the Israelites take the witness stand. After they hear the accusation, the people, as usual, miss the point. They list one gift to God after another. God, what could you possibly want from us? Do you want more sacrifices? More expensive livestock? How about 1,000 sheep? Just how religious can we be? Each gift is more extravagant than the next until the last. They list the ultimate sacrifice, their firstborn, to redeem their souls. Now, did this really happen? Well, scholars are divided, but the shock value is there. How far do they have to go to please God? The people are trying to satisfy what they think are God's expectations. The over-the-top offerings, burnt offerings, thousands of rams, rivers of oil, even the firstborn, shows how futile it is to try to buy God's favor. They have confused ritual performance with moral integrity. And Micah shows them this is absurd. And here's the twist in the courtroom drama. Typically, a lawsuit ends in a judgment and a sentence. This one ends with one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible. God's closing argument is not harsh, mysterious, or inaccessible. The prophet tells them, all God wants is for them to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with God. This turns their covenant from performance into moral action. Justice, kindness, humility outline a faith grounded in equity and compassion. In Micah's vision, right worship cannot be severed from right relationship. Gifts to God without justice is idolatry. What does God want? The prophet asks. What does God want from us today, right now? God wants us to do justice, to be a voice for oppressed persons, unprotected persons, widows, immigrants, and to fight for the right of the disabled, minorities, elderly people, poor people, and every person treated as less than God's child. God loves us all too much to play favorites. God wants us to love kindness. The Hebrew word is hesed, which means God's loving kindness. We respond to God's love by sharing it with others. We are to walk humbly with God, listening for God's voice wherever God may be heard, listening to Jews, Muslims, and Buddhists, learning how other people make sense of their lives, thoughtfully examining what it means like to live with faith. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? So, dear church, come to this table of grace, then go and do what is good. May the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Please rise for the hymn of the day, which is number 66 in your brown hymnal, I Want Jesus to Walk With Me. Please rise.